From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
What happened last night in Israel was not a defensive action over Iran. It was a calculated attack on a civilian population. Israel will not stand by in the face of such aggression. Israel will respond. Our response will be decisive. And yes, it will be painful.
That was Danny Dilan, permanent representative of Israel to the United Nations earlier today. Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Iran and the rest of the world are watching closely to see how Israel responds to yesterday's direct attack by Iran, which, by the way, revealed that Iran's military strength may not match the image they've been projecting. Congressman Keith Self of Texas, a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, will be here to discuss the latest developments in the Middle East. As Israel faces military threats on multiple fronts, they may also be confronting economic challenges. Moody's recently downgraded Israel's credit rating by two notches, citing, quote, significantly intensified geopolitical risk, end quote. We'll speak with Mark Rubin, executive director of Israel Bonds, about what this means for the nation. And from last night's first and only vice presidential debate of 2024.
Trying to distort the way a law is written to try and make a point, that's not it
but
at all.
What was I wrong about, Governor? Please tell me, what was I wrong about?
That is not the way the law is written. Look, I've given this advice on a lot of things, that getting involved, getting against, that's been misread, and it was fact-checked at the last debate.
Was it fact-checked? Well, maybe we have to fact-check the fact-checkers again. That was, of course, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz in last night's debate. FRC Action's Brent Kylan will join me for analysis of the informative and civil debate that took place last night. A new documentary on the life of the late Don Wildman is set to release soon. We'll hear more about it from Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association. And finally, my friend Lou Engel has issued a call for an army of women to fast and pray for the future of our nation and gather on the nation's mall right here in Washington, D.C. on October the 12th, the Day of Atonement. Lou will join us to share more details about that gathering. The website, TonyPerkins.com, but let me encourage you to visit the website, PrayVoteStand.org, because tomorrow night we will gather here in our nation's capital to pray. And yes, we will be praying, and we will be preparing to vote. We'll be talking about a number of topics that will help inform and educate voters as they move toward the polls in less than, just about a month from now. So find out more. Go to PrayVoteStand.org. The candidates for U.S. Vice President, Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, faced off in New York City last night for the first and only vice presidential debate of the 2024 election season. The civil 90-minute exchange offered a clear contrast of each party's priorities, particularly on the issues of abortion, the economy, immigration, and the environment. So what were the takeaways from last night's debate? Joining me now with analysis is Brent Kylan, Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at the Family Research Council and FRC Action. Brent, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
So let's jump right into this, to the debate. What were the major takeaways for you?
You know, there were a few things that jumped out at me. Like you said, it did really feel like a civil debate, and I appreciated it. Again, clear contrast. We had a lot of that, a lot of differentiation, but there was also a lot of respect for the person. So there's this statement, I feel like we can disagree on ideas, but we can also respect
people. Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen that.
It has. You know, it really has. It was refreshing. I was going to say that, too. It was refreshing. The thing that, to me, wasn't as refreshing is I felt like the moderators were kind of this continuation of what we saw of the presidential debate with the, quote, fact-checking in the debate with Trump and Harris. We saw them fact-check
it was
Trump.
Very subtle. It was very subtle in last night's debate.
Yes, it was more subtle.
They were kind of throwing in these lines to as they would transition to the next candidate. And but this is the legacy media can't help themselves.
Yeah.
This is what they do.
Yeah. And it was definitely more subtle than the presidential debate, but it was still also like a one-sided subtle, right, if you will.
See, the thing about Washington Watch versus, you know, CBS News is that we tell people up front, look, we're going to talk about this from a biblical perspective, right? We're not hiding that. We're going to tell you that. They don't tell you that they're coming at this from a humanist worldview when they talk about the news, and they're slanted toward the left. We're slanted toward the right, biblical truth. Now, not necessarily slanted toward a particular party or candidate, because I don't always agree with them, but we are slanted toward a worldview that is biblical in its foundation.
That's right. And there was a lot of differentiation on the issues last night. So they covered broad spectrum, and I thought we really did get that contrast, and it was some helpful information.
Let me play a couple clips. I'm going to play this clip regarding the topic of abortion, because this is where the fact-checking comes in. Play clip number three.
After Roe versus Wade was overturned, you signed a bill into law that made Minnesota one of the least restrictive states in the nation when it comes to abortion. Former President Trump said in the last debate that you believe abortion, quote, in the ninth month is absolutely fine. Yes or no? Is that what you support? I'll give you 2 minutes.
That's not what the bill says, but look, this issue is what's on everyone's mind. Donald Trump put this all into motion.
All right, so that's not what the law says. He just moves on, doesn't talk about it. J.D. Vance, he presses in. Clip six.
As I read the Minnesota law that you signed into law, the statute that you signed into law, it says that a doctor who presides over an abortion where the baby survives, the doctor is under no obligation to provide life-saving care to a baby who survives a botched late-term abortion. That is, I think,
that's
whether you're
true.
Pro-choice or pro-abortion, that is fundamentally barbaric.
Okay, you see me. No, that's not true. That's not true. This continues. Clip eight.
Trying to distort the way a law is written to try and make a point, that's not it
but
at all.
What was I wrong this about, were, Governor? Please tell me. What was I wrong about?
That is
about?
Not the way the law is written. Look, I've given
but
this.
But how?
I've given this advice on a lot of things that getting involved, getting against, that's been misread, and it was fact-checked at the last debate.
Okay. It was fact-checked. Brent, let's fact-check the fact-checkers. What does the law say?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like those were absolutely deceptive comments by Governor Walz. If you look at what the law actually says, so as you pointed out in the clips there, this came up two different times in the debate last night. One was in the context of, do you actually support abortion through all 9 months? That was one. Then later, J.D. Vance circled back to that born-alive abortion survivors protection issue. So if you look at the born alive issue, Governor Walz has signed state legislation on this. Now, they asked him the question about that. J.D. Vance says, by my reading, please explain how I'm wrong. This is what it looks like it does. But what the law did, Tony, is it removed the words to preserve the life and health of the born alive infant. I can quote you the statute. This was subdivision one of Minnesota statute 145.423. It removed that phrase, quote, to preserve the life and health of the born alive infant, end quote, and just left the word care, not even medical care. That's such a broad term. So this was a very deliberate law change. Maybe they didn't realize the ramifications, but that is just astounding that you would deny that.
So Minnesota joined the ranks of about a dozen states that have no laws protecting
yes.
children, babies that survive an abortion and are born alive.
That is absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. The other
but that's what the fact checker said we were wrong in when I flagged that in the last debate.
Well, and it's interesting because you see this strategy playing out after the last debate. You have, Kamala Harris saying, hey, late-term abortion just doesn't happen. It's not a thing. Governor Walz is really parroting the same strategy where they're like, this doesn't happen.
They can't defend it, and so they want to get away from it.
And they're trying. It's an absolute dodge. If you look at what else he did as governor, Tony, getting back to that question, and they gave him the chance to say, what's your actual position? What do you support? President or former President Trump said you support through all 9 months. Do you support that? He didn't even say, I don't support that. He just said, again, that's not what the law does. Let's look at what those Minnesota laws did that he signed. The law he signed It allows abortion at any point in pregnancy, at any point, no restrictions. And it also jeopardizes laws like parental consent and in conscience objections. So it does. Like, Minnesota has radical abortion laws, and that, to me, was just a very outright lie, saying that's not what the law does, because it is what it does.
I actually think that, in large part, is why he was selected as her running mate. Minnesota is not a swing state. It brings nothing to the presidential ticket. Usually you look for a vice presidential candidate. Like, J.D. Vance makes sense from a political standpoint because Ohio is a swing state, big state. It would have made more sense to go to Pennsylvania. Shapiro would have been a better, you know, pick from a political standpoint. When I say political, electoral standpoint, when you look at the Electoral College. The only rationale I can see on Walz is his radical positions, in particular on abortion and the transgender issue.
It's kind of interesting if you look at his actual record, because he's couched as a moderate, like a Midwestern moderate. I think part of the calculus is kind of counting on his kind of folksy. He's got kind of that folksy demeanor. And,
last night he looked like a moonshiner caught in headlights. I mean, I wouldn't call it folksy. I would call it like he had no clue as to what he was doing.
There were definitely some bad moments in the debate for him.
All right. We just got a couple minutes left. Brent, Kylan, let's talk about the election coming up. We're just a little over 30 days away. FRC Action has some resources available. Talk about what people can access to help them not only get registered and voting, but also informed voting.
Absolutely. Tony, we're pretty excited. We're actually releasing this in tandem with the Pray Vote Stand Summit this week. But in the FRC Stand Firm app, there's a comprehensive toolkit. This is all free. It is exclusively in the Stand Firm app. But if you get the toolkit there, what it has is it has practical information like voter guides. So you have the FRC Action Presidential Voter Guide, the party platform comparison, which is important, and also iVoter Guide, which covers the federal races in all 50 states and a lot of the other state and local races as well.
And that's personalized.
Yes, it will be. When those guides are finalized for your state, you type in your address, and it will personalize all of the races covered.
So how can people get access to the toolkit?
Again, it's in the Stand Firm app. So you download that app. You can also text in the word toolkit to 67742. That'll take you to a link to download the Stand Firm app, and then just look for the 2024 toolkit. Got a lot of great resources in that.
Toolkit, one word, toolkit 67742. You'll get a link. You can get the app. You download the app, and then you have the toolkit and all the other resources, including the daily edition of Washington Watch.
That's right.
All right, Brent, 30 seconds, Pray Vote Stand Summit. What do people need to be prepared for?
Come, like you said, pray, ready to receive from some, I think, great experts. We have some really, really good people who are going to be sharing. One of my favorite things to hear from people after the event is, I'm encouraged, I'm not alone. I hope people walk away with that from this year as well.
It is a big huddle.
Yes, yes,
I love that. For the spiritually
minded. Yes.
And by the way, if you can't be here, you still got time to get here, but if you can't be here, you can join us and watch most of it on the Real Life Network, the Real Life app. You can get that. That's with our Jack Hibbs and Real Life, Pastor Jack. They're our title sponsor for this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. All right, Brent Kylan, I'll see you at Pray Vote Stand.
Sounds good, Tony. Appreciate it.
Until then, just keep standing, all right? All right, folks, don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Are you a Christian parent looking to raise a spiritual champion in today's culture? Renowned author George Barna has written a new book, Raising Spiritual Champions. This book offers valuable insights based on extensive research conducted by George Barna, the Family Research Council, and Arizona Christian University. Learn how to help your children discern biblical truth and find compelling meaning and purpose. Don't miss out on this essential resource for parents. Order your copy today.
Hello, I'm Jody Heiss, president of FRC Action. Here in America, we thank God for the right to vote, and we can all agree on the importance of this upcoming election. Many of us want to support candidates who share our values, but we're not comfortable supporting the big national political organizations. Well, we have a solution for supporting candidates through FRC Action's Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund. Being a super PAC, it allows for unlimited individual and corporate donations, so we can endorse and fund campaigns for people who share our values. By giving to this fund, we're able to pull all of our contributions together and support and endorse like-minded candidates. That's how we move the needle. So let's be the best stewards possible and get the most out of our political contributions by uniting our efforts. For more information or to contribute, visit faithfamilyfreedomfund.org. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
All of us are born with the desire to find truth and meaning. Where did I come from? What happens when I die? While our answers to these questions may divide us, we are united in our need for the freedom to answer life's biggest questions and make life's biggest decisions for ourselves. That's why religious freedom matters for everyone. Religious freedom matters because the powerful have long wanted to control those who are less powerful. Religious freedom matters because the freedom of those who are different is often threatened by those who believe different is dangerous. At the Center for Religious Liberty at Family Research Council, we promote religious freedom for everyone because the only alternative is religious freedom for no one. We encourage Americans and the American government to engage and advocate for the persecuted, and they do. We work every day to bring good news to the afflicted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. We do it because that's what Jesus does. We work to give freedom to others because we ourselves have been set free.
BraveVoteStand.org. That's where you can find out all the information about the summit that begins tomorrow night here in our nation's capital. Well, Israeli forces continued battling Hezbollah at close range in southern Lebanon today, with Israel losing at least 8 soldiers since the combat began in Lebanon about 48 hours ago. Now, this comes as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu considers Israel's response to the barrage of missiles that Iran fired on his nation yesterday. Now, President Biden said he does not support an attack by Israel against Iranian nuclear sites, claiming he wants Israel to respond in proportion. Joining me now to discuss the latest is Congressman Keith Self. He serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee and the Veterans Affairs Committee. He represents the 3rd Congressional District of Texas. He's retired from the United States Army and actually served with the IDF. Congressman Self, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be here, Tony. Thank you.
So let me ask you this question. When you have a nation that is firing ballistic missiles, just under 200 ballistic missiles at civilian populations, I saw a friend of mine sent me video of the missiles being intercepted over Tel Aviv. What's proportional in your response?
I'm not sure that the Israelis, Bibi personally, is going to use that word. Proportional is he is serious about this. He is going to take care of the near-term threats in southern Lebanon now, move the Hezbollah infrastructure north of the Litani River at least. But when we turn our attention to Iran, I think there are 3 possible targets: launch sites, the nuclear sites that you talked about, or the oil infrastructure. I do not believe he will start with the nuclear sites. I think he will try to degrade their launch sites as much as he can, realizing they have mobile launchers, and he may take out some of their oil production. That's my opinion. I think that one of those two will be the target, and it will be significant.
There's a window here, I think, that he has to do this. Iran, we're constantly hearing these reports. They're now latest a week from breaking out with having the capability of delivering nuclear military-grade nuclear weapons. Is this a narrow window for Israel to take out this constant threat that they've been facing from Iran?
It could be, but we don't know that. I suspect that Israel knows far better than we do exactly where Iran is in that calculation. And if they make the decision that it is in their national interest to go after the nuclear sites, they certainly will. Several months ago, they took out the EW warning sites at one of the nuclear sites, but they've not bothered to go after them since then. But that's up to the Israelis, and frankly, I think their intel is probably better than ours.
Oh, no question. There's no question about that. Congressman Keith Self, has the Biden administration released all of the military funding that Congress has appropriated for Israel?
They haven't released the funding in terms of weapons systems. They have been slow rolling their support for Israel ever since the October 7th attack. Look, the State Department is historically and traditionally anti-Semitic. We're seeing that play out in the Biden government today. They've been slow rolling support. I had a letter today that five of my colleagues joined with me telling President Biden to release the supplies that we have approved as Congress, that we've appropriated, and also to start enforcing the sanctions on Iran. Because if you remember, Tony, Iran was broke when Trump left office. They now have almost $100 billion in reserves. So those two things we demanded of President Biden today, six of members of Congress. And we're going to see what his response is, but we must stand with them against the primary sponsor of terrorism in the Middle East.
I mean, maybe I've missed it, but most of his limiting language is focused on Israel.
Oh, absolutely. That is very clear that they are not supporting Israel as the U.S. has traditionally done. I believe that we need to break loose the supply, because if Iran and Israel do go to major fisticuffs, a major war, they're going to need our support, and they're going to need it now. Now, they've got a great suite of air defense systems, Iron Dome, David Sling, and Arrow, and they're doing a magnificent job. But if you go to a major regional war, it's going to require more. And that's up to us.
You brought that up. I've got a graphic of the Israeli defense missile system, the Arrow 3, Arrow 2, the Iron Dome. I've actually personally seen that in operation when I've been there during one occasion a few years back. David Sling. Mm-hmm. But this is very expensive. And Arrow, the Arrow 2 missiles, defensive missile system. Those are $3.5 million each. The David Sling is about $1 million, Iron Dome about $100,000. Is any of that being held up from going to Israel?
I don't know specifically. I know that we deployed some of our Iron Dome rounds to Israel, so I don't know the specifics on that. I think that our supplies are the more mundane military supplies, because those are Israeli products. It may be production of the actual rounds, but I've not seen that in writing, so I can't answer your question. But the point is, they're also involved in the near combat in Lebanon. They're still cleaning up Gaza, and now they have a law enforcement action in West Bank, and they still have Houthis firing rockets at them from Yemen. So I believe, and that's the reason I think they'll go after the launcher sites and maybe the oil production, is the nuclear. And again, their intel on nuclear is important. But what they're trying to do now is to take care of the threats around them, the immediate threats in their neighborhood.
Right, right. Last question. One of the items they were holding up, the Biden administration was holding up, was the 2,000-pound bombs, the bunker-busting bombs. Is that still being withheld? Because that obviously is very important if they go deep into Iran, into Tehran.
Well, I don't know if they're still holding them up, because you might have read they put like 80 of those on top of Nasrallah, and they dug that hole deep to go get him. If they're using them 80 at a time to get one of the leaders, they're going to use them up faster, and we're going to have to resupply them. So I will tell you, their usage just in that one action was dramatic. Putting 80 in one hole, to me, I've never heard that number. So they're going to need the resupply, and quickly, if they're going to start using those things against the leaders. And I believe the Ayatollah is probably in a bunker somewhere waiting his turn.
Yeah, he's like a groundhog, I would imagine. All right, Keith Self, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, don't go away, because when we come back, Israel is not only facing a military foe, They're facing some economic challenges. We're going to talk about Israel bonds and how you can help Israel next.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They're disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. But I would prefer you go to PrayVoteStand.org. Find out more about the Pray Vote Stand conference beginning tomorrow night. If you're within driving distance, you can join us. If not, you can watch on the Real Life Network. All right, the bond credit rating agency Moody Rating recently downgraded Israel's credit rating by two notches, stating the, quote, geopolitical risk has intensified significantly, end quote. Now, Moody has faced allegations of political bias before. Might not remember this, but back in 2016, they warned that a Trump presidency would significantly hurt the U.S. economy. Well, were they wrong? So is this more political bias? Joining me now is Mark Rubin, executive director of Israel Bonds, which has been delivering returns to investors rain or shine for more than 70 years. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Mark, let me ask you this question. This downgrade from Moody, not only did they cite the geopolitical environment right now with the war going on now for a year, but they also pointed to judicial reforms. Is this politically motivated? What's behind this?
Well, I don't think I can comment on what motivates them, but I can comment on the fact that we have seen record sales of Israel bonds since October 7th. People have demonstrated their full faith in the state of Israel to always return on the investment, both the interest required as well as the principal when the bond matures. In fact, throughout its entire time of selling bonds since 1951, Israel Bonds has never missed a payment of principal or interest, whether in times of war or relative peace.
Well, let's talk about the bonds, because you and I, we actually had lunch together at a Bojangles not too long ago. My kids will love to hear that. But the reality is, this is a great way to stand with Israel. And we're seeing churches, businesses, governments, state governments, standing with Israel through this difficult time by buying bonds. Talk about that.
Well, I have to say that we have unprecedented support, and I can say, I'm proud to say, that the College of the Ozarks made a significant investment in Israel bonds. You may know them. They're a small Christian college in Missouri. We welcome them to participate in our program. And also, we are bipartisan in the support that we receive from governments across the country. For example, the state treasurer of Florida, Jimmy Patronis, is a Republican, and he, on behalf of the state of Florida's treasury, invested over $250 million in Israel bonds since October 7th. And even locally in Palm Beach County, Florida, Joe Abruzzo, a Democrat, is now the largest investor of Israel bonds in our history. Palm Beach County owns a portfolio of $700 million, which is a record, and he was thanked personally by the president of Israel for making that record amount of investment.
I think my home state of Louisiana has also bought bonds, Israel bonds.
Yes, sir.
It's a financial investment. I mean, this is not a, it is supporting Israel at a time of need, but all of these entities are getting a return on this investment.
Yes, absolutely. And they are both our state treasurer and our clerk who makes the investments here in Florida are quick to note that the most important thing is the fiduciary responsibility they have. And since we have never missed a payment and we pay above U.S. Treasuries, these are things that qualify them to be a qualified investment that they are happy to make. Because I can tell you that Palm Beach County is going to announce a record amount on their investment portfolio for 2024 of over $225 million. And they attribute a lot of that to Israel bonds, which they made over $35 million from in the past year.
Mark, let me ask you this question. How is Israel Bonds observing the one-year anniversary that is coming up next week of the Hamas brutal terrorist attack on Israel?
Right. We are having we're having a special program on October 7th. We announced this week the launch of a new Invest in Life. It's a global initiative dedicated to commemorating October 7th. The campaign invites supporters to invest $107 or more in Israel bonds as a tribute to the fallen soldiers and hostages who are still in captivity, the murdered civilians and the survivors of that day, as well as those affected by the ongoing war against terrorism. And on that solemn anniversary of October 7th, Israel bonds and ILTV joined forces to share valiant stories, honor precious lives massacred on that horrific day, and commend the brave defenders who have safeguarded Israel's security for the last 365 days. You can, if you'd like to see it, you can register for it at https://bit.ly/4EQOA41. It's up on the Israel Bonds website at israelbonds.com for further information. And we'd love to welcome all of your viewers to join us in that special program.
Israelbonds.com. Israelbonds.com. Folks, that's where you can go. If you miss that, go to tonyperkins.com. We'll have a link up there as well. But I strongly encourage you to make an investment in the nation of Israel. Stand with them. This is a very practical way to do this, to make a bold statement, but you're also getting a return on your investment. Mark Rubin, I want to thank you for joining us and look forward to talking to you again in the future and look forward to helping you reach even, we didn't get to talk about it, but churches can make significant investments as well. And we'll talk about that next time. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, israelbonds.com. Great way to stand with our friends in Israel. And you'll be blessed. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. I tell you what, I have more confidence in investing my money in Israel than I do in the stock market here in the United States, given what's happening in our country, how we're floundering as a nation in terms of our direction. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Join us October 3rd through the 6th as we gather with spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives from across America at the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit in Washington, D.C. We'll pray for our nation, engage in government and culture, and stand for biblical truth alongside Christian leaders, worldview experts, and government officials. We'll discuss important issues like the sanctity of life, religious freedom, protecting students, strengthening families, praying for our nation, and how you can impact America's future from a biblical worldview. Our nation stands at a critical juncture, and we must ensure that the issues impacting faith, family, and freedom are understood and advanced. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in Him through His Word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in Him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible. And join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Our word for today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. "Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work." Now, sadly, in this fallen world, injustice is ever present. Instead of a blindfolded Lady Justice overseeing the fair scales, truth has been gagged and justice, as we know it, has been mugged. But our hope should never rest in man's justice, which is flawed and incomplete. Rather, our trust is in the justice of God, a justice that is coming where every person will be held accountable. This eternal perspective assures us that the books of justice remain open and no injustice across the generations can be hidden from the omniscient judge of all the earth, who will have the final word at the final judgment. To join us on our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. For Christians in the 21st century, signs of cultural degeneracy and decay are all around us. We see this from Hollywood, corporate advertising, politics, and now in our schools. But those of us who have been around a little longer know this is nothing new. Cultural and spiritual battles have always taken place. And a new documentary, a film called Culture Warrior, Don Wildman in the Battle for Decency, explores the founding of the American Family Association, which grew from the founding of the National Federation for Decency back in 1977, leading to Don Wildman quickly becoming a feared figure among network TV executives and advertisers. Gifted with a tremendous amount of common sense, shrewdness, and spiritual determination, Don's stand for righteousness continues to inspire and activate countless believers today. And it was a privilege of mine to have Don as a friend and, in a way, a mentor. Joining me now to discuss this is Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and the American Family Radio. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, good to be with you today.
Hey, congratulations on the film, which just premiered this week. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a film that it's about my dad, as you said, Don Wildman, who was one of the first leaders in what you would call the pro-family movement back in the 70s, and along with, you know, others like Dr. James Dobson and Dr. D. James Kennedy and the LaHayes Phyllis Schlafly. These are there are others that I could name, but those are some of the names. That
well, they're kind of what I call the Mount Rushmore evangelicals. I mean, they were the leaders, and it was a privilege of mine to get to work alongside all of them when I first came here to Family Research Council 21 years ago, working with your dad with the Arlington Group and his leading of a national effort. So he's been at this for a long time. Right.
Yeah. Dad started in 77 and gained a lot of national notoriety. He was, you know, on ABC News Nightline with Ted Koppel. He was on the Phil Donahue show. These were big, big news shows back in the day. Meet the Press. You've been on some of those, Tony. But what Dad saw was a cultural and moral decline going on in America, and he wanted to try to do something to stop it, or at least to hold it back. Because he knew, as others did, who were looking into the future at that time, that if America began to reject the Judeo-Christian heritage of our country, of our founders, we would eventually end up kind of where we are now. And if we don't change, it's going to get even worse in terms of, you know, the social ills that we see facing us, the decline of the family, sexually transmitted diseases, criminal activity, things that happen when the social mores break down. Dad could see that was what was ahead. And so, anyway, this film, though, documents my dad's life and the ministry of NFD, which became American Family Association. And so we encourage people to go watch the trailer.
Now, where can people, they can see the trailer where?
Yeah, the trailer is at culturewarrior.movie.
Okay.
You rarely hear a dot movie, but it is culturewarrior.movie. It's the trailer. The full film will be coming out, I think, in a few weeks. People can go watch that there, and it's really remarkable. I know you knew my dad, Tony, as you said. It's really remarkable what God did in his life to give him the tools and the skills that one would need to form an organization the size of American Family Association. Dad was a visionary, but he was also the kind of guy that could put things together. Some people are visionaries, but they don't have any common sense. Some people have a lot of common sense, but don't have any vision. And he always said God blessed him, with the ability to put things together, to get things done, and to organize and to be effective in the culture.
What really I really enjoyed getting to know your dad was that coming from Tupelo, you know, he some people took him as a country bumpkin. But, I mean, this guy was, he was sharp, he was shrewd, he knew what he's doing, a master at marketing. And, you know, I think I've told you the story about one of his first books someone handed to me back when I was in the anti-terrorist business. And little did I ever think that I would be working alongside Don Wildman in years.
Oh, The Man the Networks Love to Hate?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go back to something you just said here, Tim, a moment ago. You said, you know, he was trying to prevent what we see actually happening today.
Yeah.
And someone said, well, see, look, it didn't do any good. Here's what I think people need to understand. Christians, we've been called to be salt and light.
Right.
Both. Salt preserves and slows decay. Doesn't prevent it, doesn't keep it from happening, but it slows it. Can you imagine what our country would look like if Don Wildman hadn't been there, American Family Radio had not been there? Yeah. And the other Christian ministries that have been, I mean, we've been here 40 years in our nation's capital.
Yeah. How? No, absolutely. What you guys do in the political arena, in the government arena, what we do to help in that arena to the extent that we can, what we do in the social moral values arena to hold back the tide of wickedness, of evil. I mean, that counts for something. I mean, it does. And I remember back in, during the 80s, Dad's work and others was able to get, I think, pornographic magazines 20,000 convenience stores and drug stores removed them from their shelf. Well, how many how many lives were prevented from getting into that mess?
Tim, final question for you. When you were growing up, your dad was doing this. What did you think when your dad launched into this? I mean, left his church, started this new ministry. What were you thinking?
Well, I was I would have been about 14 years old. So I was thinking, what exactly is this going to look like? Because I knew what a church looked like, and Dad was the pastor of the First United Methodist Church in South Haven, Mississippi, and he had been a pastor for 9 years. So I know what that looked like. But then we go from that to working out of our home, you know, with an offset machine, a printing machine, for those who don't know, a telephone, and that was where his office was. And then he began to travel like crazy, going to speak at all kind of churches and denominational meetings and television appearances. And he had to at the time because he had to get the word out about what he was advocating for so that people would join and support. That worked, you know. That was a lot of, he was all by himself basically for a year or two, and obviously looking back now, some 40 whatever it is years later, over 45 years later, that God's hand was on my dad. Dad did hear right when God said, "Come out of the pulpit, and I got a special work for you to do." Dad listened, obeyed, and here we are today. Of course, Dad passed last December, but his work for nearly four decades proved that he did hear from the Lord.
Yeah, and you got to cut a lot of grass while he was traveling. And now your sons are moving into the ministry as well in leadership roles.
Wesley and Walker, and so they are. So it's a generational calling here, if you will. But the movie trailer is culturewarrior.com. Culturewarrior.movie.
All right. We're going to encourage people to check it out and go see it when it comes out to the theaters.
Okay.
Tim Wildman, we appreciate you and American Family Radio and the whole Wildman family.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
All right. Check that out, folks. You can go to TonyPerkins.com as well to find out more. All right. In the book of Esther, speaking of the culture and speaking where we are today and how our responsibility never ends to be salt and light. Well, in the book of Esther, God raised up a young woman in a time of crisis to save his chosen people. Well, coming up on October the 12th, it will be the Jewish Day of Atonement. And evangelist Lou Engle has called for an army of women to fast and pray on the nation's mall right here in Washington, D.C., for the fate of our nation in this current time of crisis. Of course, those of us who know the story of Esther know there is a role for men as well, such as Esther's uncle, Mordecai, who understood the importance of obedience. Joining me now to discuss this is Lou Engle, president of Lou Engle Ministries. Lou, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great to see you again, Tony. We had some journeys together back then, and we're still at it, aren't we?
Well, brother, you are, and I appreciate what you're doing and praying. In fact, we're going to be praying at our Pray Vote Stand Summit this weekend. We feel like maybe we're just the forerunner to what you're going to be doing next weekend, October the 12th. Tell our audience about it.
Yes, you know, it all started, Tony, with a dream, which usually that's the way it works with me. But when President Trump was elected in 2017, witches rose up worldwide to curse him every crescent moon. Because of that, I went to the mountains to fast and pray to see if God wanted me to mobilize prayer concerning this. And on the third night of the fast at Estes Park, some call it Esther's Park, I had the most epic dream of my life. And in this dream, as far as I could see, women were coming from everywhere, and they were coming to hear the book of Esther be taught. It was a buzz. I'm looking at this women's revival, and they're coming to hear the book of Esther be taught. And in this dream, I'm the only man there with an ancient Bible, which I now understand, and I believe I do, that it was a calling of a Mordecai to literally mobilize what I'm looking at. And so in this dream, a woman stands up. She's teaching the book of Esther. And she says, and these two words in the book of Esther actually mean Nazgul, N-A-Z-G-U-L. I exploded out of the dream instantly knowing what it meant because I watched the third part of The Lord of the Rings, where the Nazgul Witch King was destroying the armies of men and said, no man can kill me, but the king's daughter takes off her helmet and lets her hair down and says, I am no man. And she pierces the Nazgul Witch King. I woke up and I knew there was coming a massive women's movement, an Esther movement, that would stand against the witchcraft that was fueling the ideologies of America and influencing elections. And I believe, looking back to 2017, we could be in that very moment right now, a massive Esther movement. Who would have guessed that when we were mobilizing for this, Tony, who would have guessed that October 7th would take place and a major world Haman anti-Semitism would rise up? I think we're striking a divine moment for a solemn assembly. So who knows? Maybe God can turn this thing.
Amen. So you're calling women to come to our nation's capital. Can men participate in this as well?
Yes, we're saying every man of Mordecai, every woman in Esther. It's never been just women, just men. We're trying to bring these together. But the story of Esther is Mordecai is deeply entrenched in the storyline, taking a stand against false ideologies. And that's where we're standing there. So men and women. It's a 10-hour gathering from 9 to 7. It's a sacrifice. It's the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It's the only day the Jews were called to fast. It is a fast. Derek Prince talks about in the days of crisis, God releases solemn assemblies that can turn. Joel chapter 2, he says, Esther, her fast shifted history. We're believing even this day could actually shift things, even elections, and bring forth a new day of revival. That's what we're believing for, Tony.
Well, Lou, it's happened before, and we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so it can happen again. How? I just got about 45 seconds left. How can folks learn more about this event?
Go to amillionwomen.org. amillionwomen.org. I'm so glad you're putting this on because literally people, thousands of people watch you. You can drive in from North Carolina, New York. You can drive several hours and be here for that day. I believe it's a significant moment in the history of America, maybe a last stand.
And folks, you can also text Esther to 21,000, Esther to 21,000, 21,000. Text Esther to get more information. Lou Engle, my brother, always great to see you. And thank you so much for continuing to pursue God and all that you do.
Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be with you, Tom.
All right, my good friend, Pastor Lou Engle. So if you can make it. In fact, you might as well just come this weekend for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit and stay all week. This city could use a lot of prayer. Find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, folks, out of time for today, but Lord willing, we'll have tomorrow and we'll have more Washington Watch. But until then, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.